There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Finishing My Course.
In Jesus' name, we press on. We're just pressing on the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. Notice what it says in verse number 13. He says, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. Notice that word. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul said, not only am I going to forget some things that are behind me, not only am I presently really reaching forth for that finish line, but he said, I am pressing on. I'm putting everything I have, and he said, I'm pressing toward the heavenly calling, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to earnestly come across my finish line. And by the way, none of us know where our finish line is. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And I believe that the Apostle Paul is saying here that when his day came, he wanted to be moving forward for God. He didn't want to be sitting in the easy chair. He didn't want to be someone who had gone bitter on the Lord, or all the churches are hypocrites and having all these excuses and just kind of on the bench on the side of the game. No. Paul wanted to be in the race, and he wanted to be pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, some days we're in the race, and the devil tries to get us to the side, but I want to encourage you to press on. Christopher Columbus, in his diary, had many things he wrote about sea life and about discoveries along the way. But the most common entry in Christopher Columbus' diary simply said this: today we sailed on. Today we sailed on. And I just want to encourage you this morning, no matter where you are in your journey, that you would sail on and keep pressing on and keep going on to learn more of God and to be faithful to Him. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You know, there are times when we must simply consider Him. We must remember His faithfulness and then press on and be faithful. I heard about a grandfather who was spending some time with his grandson, and they were on the couch. They were watching sports. Granddaddy was a man that loved to watch football. He was up in his 70s, never got over his passion for football. And he put his arm on his grandson. He said, son, he said, you know, he said, it's not easy getting old. And he said, in fact, he said, I guess I'm pretty much in the fourth quarter now in my life. And his grandson reached up around and put his arms around his neck. He said, Grandpa, don't worry about it. Maybe you'll go into overtime. Now, folks, I hope God gives all of us overtime. But no matter how long this life lasts, no matter whether God calls us home or we're all caught up together in the rapture, I trust that every one of us will be running with patience the race that is set before us. And sometimes your lane will not be like the other guy's lane. I mean, your lane's going to have all kinds of weeds to jump over and hurdles to jump over. And the other guy, it might look for a while like, man, everything he touches turns to gold. Let me just encourage you. Don't look at the lane next to you. Just run your race. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and trust Him every step of the way. Run your race with patience. patience. Now let's notice, secondly, in this passage, the Apostle Paul admonishes us, God's Word challenges us to run our race with principles, with Bible principles along the way. Now, every athletic event has rules and boundaries. And in the Christian life, God gives to us principles that we might follow in order to finish this race. And again, we can neglect the principles and very likely not finish the race, or we can obey the principles and stay in the race. So let's look at verse 15 now. It says, "Let us therefore." Okay, verse 13 and 14, he's kind of giving his testimony. But now we see him turning to the church at Philippi and saying, "Let us therefore." Let those of us who are believers, those of us, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, let us be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. In other words, every mature believer is going to run the race with biblical principles in mind. He will be a principled, she will be a principled person going along life's race. Now, where do these principles come from? How can we live a principled life? First of all, we must learn them from the Scriptures. The principles that we will need in this race will come from the Word of God. And I want you to see a very interesting phrase in verse 16. It says this, "Let us walk by the same rule." Let us walk by the same rule. Now, sometimes I like to walk around during the day here on our campus, and I especially like to see the elementary teachers with the little kids, maybe first grade, second grade. I am telling you, those kids, when they're walking from lunch to class, I mean, they're in a single file line. They're looking straight ahead. Teachers out in front. Kids are just walking like this. Sometimes they'll see me across the sidewalk, and they'll go, I like that, you know. Some of them forget all about the rules. "Pastor!" You know, they kind of shout out to me. But I mean, they're supposed to walk by the same rule. And they're walking along that way. Now, that's the rule of the teacher, right? They're walking by that rule. Now, the word rule here refers to the canonized scriptures. God says, "I want you to walk according to the same rule book." We do not have here the Bible and the Pearl of Great Price. We do not have the Bible and the Book of Mormon. We do not have the Bible and something else. Thank God we have a finished rule of Scripture. It's the canonized Scripture. Galatians 6:16 says it this way, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." So we see that here the rule is again a reference to the teachings of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:5. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." Now, the word mastery speaks about the Olympic Games, and it says a man may strive, but he will not get the crown unless he strives lawfully. So God says, "I want you to follow my principles, my law, my word." Now, a lot of Christians today who neglect the Word of God, they say, "You know, I'm just going to kind of carve out my own idea of the Christian life. You know, I'm just going to worship God at Yosemite, and I'm just going to tithe to my motorcycle club, and, you know, I'm just going to kind of make it up as I go along the way." Now, that's fine, and they're kind of running their own quasi-Christian race, but the fact of the matter is that God says that we must strive lawfully. He says, "I have a plan in my word, and I want you to follow my word." And so the rule of Scripture is what God wants us to follow in this race. Secondly, the faith of the Scriptures. The faith of the Scriptures. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the what? The faith." He says, "I did not compromise the doctrines of Christ. I did not get in the middle of the Sanhedrin and bow down to their concept of the resurrection. I did not give in one bit to what I knew to be the truth about Jesus Christ." And you're going to find major denominations in these last days who are not keeping the faith once delivered unto the saints. And as the ecumenical movement grows and grows in the sense of just bringing all the churches together in kind of a global type of a faith, we see more and more people that say, "Well, I don't know about the inerrancy of the Scriptures, and I'm not so sure about the necessity of the blood atonement." But Paul said, "I didn't give in on that stuff." He said, "I have kept the faith. Jude in verse 3 says, Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so these scriptural principles come to us through the Word of God, and they strengthen us in the faith of God. Notice, secondly, we not only learn from the Scriptures, but in this race of the Christian life, we can learn from the godly examples that God puts into our lives. We can learn from godly examples. Now, notice that in verse 17, please. It says, Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Now, God says, I'm going to give you my word, and I'm going to give you some folks that will be examples for you. We call this biblical modeling of the Christian life. By the way, sometimes you'll meet someone that says, well, I don't follow any man, or all they're doing is following a man, and so on and so forth. Now, here's the subtle trick of that. None of us should follow merely a man, any man. All of us should follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us never forget, God's plan, not our plan, God's plan is to use human instrumentality to lead other people to Jesus Christ. And so the truth of the matter is that Paul the Apostle says here, Brethren, be ye followers together of me. In fact, that phrase, be ye followers together of me, is found 8 times in the New Testament. Philippians 3:17, Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So he says, if you want to stay in this race, you better have 2 things in your life. Number one, you better have the Word of God as your rule, and you better have some good examples as your friends that are going to help you stay in the race. Listen, nothing gets a new Christian out of the race like some old drinking buddy saying, hey man, let's go have some fun. Remember when we used to do this or that, you know? And all of a sudden we get the wrong crowd and we start going in the wrong direction. So Paul said, hey, mark those that are the right example before you. Now, if someone is not following Christ, then do not follow them. But there is nothing wrong with following a godly example. Saying, well, look at the way he witnesses. Look at the way he forgives. Look at the way she doesn't gossip. Look at the way that she forgave. On and on and on. Those are the kinds of examples. And Paul said, brethren, let's follow the right example. Notice in your notes there, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of, what does it say? Us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, when I first read that, I thought, well, that doesn't sound very scriptural. And then I thought, well, that's dumb to say. This is the Scriptures. I said, why does it say they followed Paul first and then the Lord? Now, just think of the divine order of that. How many of you this morning have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior already? Just raise your hand for a second. All right. How many of you in the process of accepting Christ as your Savior, some man or woman came into your life and talked to you about God from the Bible, and you began to follow what they were saying to you, and they led you to the Lord? Okay, that's what Paul's saying. He said, you became followers of us and of the Lord. So when someone says, well, I don't follow any man, all right, that's fine, because no one should just follow a man. But when there's a man or a godly woman or a parent or whatever leading someone in the ways of the Lord, friends, that's God's plan to help you stay in the race. That's God's plan. And the devil is so subtle today in attacking the relationships of this world. And I mean the good parental relationships, marital relationships, church relationships. And yet biblical modeling and biblical mentoring are so very, very important in the ministry. I thank God today for all the people who've helped me stay in the race. Now, I'm honest today. Apart from the Word of God, and apart from the people of God, I don't know if I'd be preaching right now today, 25 years in the ministry. The fact of the matter is that God has used His Word and His Spirit to sustain me, and God has used people along the way to give me an example and to show me some things and to help me. I was thinking this past week about a man that was my Awana director. Some of you remember the old program Awana, Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. And I was about a 10, 11-year-old boy. I just accepted Christ as Savior. This man's name was Matt Morelli. And Matt Morelli was our Awana teacher. And every Wednesday night, he'd help me learn Bible verses. And every Wednesday night, he'd spend a little time at the table there talking to me about the Lord and praying for me. I remember my 13th birthday. He bought me a canteen and we went on a camp out together. And he taught me some of the principles from the Word of God. He worked at IBM. In fact, his granddaughter is a student today in our Bible college. Isn't that amazing? And just a wonderful, godly man. He worked at IBM, but he took time to teach children. I think of members of this church. You know, God knew what he was doing when he established the New Testament church to be a place to edify and encourage so that we could all help one another stay in the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you watch out for some old bitter Christian whose goal seems to be to get you out of the race. You thank God for those types of people who say, hang in there, keep going, stay in your marriage, stay in your class, keep reading the Word of God. And that's what Paul said. He said, I want you to mind the same rule and I want you to follow the right example. Boy, isn't that what we tell our children? We say, hey, sweetheart, don't forget to read your Bible. Let's have some devotions and be sure to have the right friends when you go to school. And that's exactly what God is saying to us. So, we must run with patience the race, and we must run with the right principles in this race, and finally, we must run with the right perspective in this race. We must run with the right perspective in this race. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want you to see the race in perspective for just a final few moments together this morning. How many have noticed that sometimes when you're on one of those laps where you're just struggling for breath and there's a lot of high jumps. And after a while, I mean, you just want to say, okay, forget it. I mean, I can't go on any further. And I don't know about you, but I never was very good at the long distance races. I like the short sprints. But boy, when you start running out of breath and a lot of times people say, look, why don't you just quit the race? And you can lose perspective. Well, there's a couple of things we need to remember before we ever fall to that temptation to quit. First of all, we need to remember that there is an eternal reward for the faithful. There's an eternal reward for the faithful. 2 Timothy 4:8 says it this way. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. The Bible says for those Christians who look for the appearing of the Lord, who live expectantly, and who stay faithful to Him, there is a crown that will be given to them. Like the wreath that was given to the Greek Olympiad, to a Greek Olympic athletes. So God says, I have a crown that will be given to those who are faithful. The Bible speaks of this crown as being something that is prepared for the righteous in Christ. The Bible speaks of this crown as being something that is for those who are looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, if you are saved this morning, then you are righteous through Christ. Amen? That's qualification number one. You've got to have obtained, you must have attained righteousness through Christ. But secondly, we must be looking for His appearing. Now, I do not know at which exact point those crowns will be given. Most Bible scholars believe that will take place at the judgment seat of Christ just after the rapture of the church. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And at that time, we will have the opportunity to receive, amongst other rewards, this award called the crown of righteousness. Revelation 4:10 says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before him. And here we see that the crowns of the elders, perhaps the apostles and the prophets, will lay those crowns down before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just simply saying that for those who quit in the race called the Christian life, there will be a loss of blessing and reward in their life. And for those who are faithful to Jesus Christ and faithful until this life is over, there will be rewards of an eternal nature that we will lay down at Jesus' feet. And what I'm saying is, don't let the trial of a Monday morning or a Friday afternoon or the trial of a Sunday afternoon, something that would come and discourage you away from God. Don't let those trials cause you to step out of your lane so that you would lose the opportunity one day to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep the perspective. It is an eternal perspective. And we have an eternal reward, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:8. And secondly, we have an eternal Redeemer. An eternal Redeemer. And we want to keep our eyes on Him. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. And I want you to notice what the Bible says here concerning this race that we're talking about today. Hebrews 12, a very familiar passage. And let's just notice it here in verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, many of you know that Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter, and it speaks about the great men and women of the faith. And the illustration is that this great cloud of witnesses that has gone before us is likened to a coliseum of people observing now the race that we are running. As if we were at the Olympic Games watching them run the 440 relay, here we see those that have gone before us watching the church, you and I, run the race. And so it says, let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, we not only have an eternal reward, but we have an eternal Redeemer. He is an eternal Redeemer, and we're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Very late in his career, the Yankees were comfortably ahead with their race for the pennant. Joe DiMaggio was asked, "Hey, you're so far ahead in the pennant race. Why is it that you play so hard and so physically every single game? I mean, today, if a team is already in the playoffs, they'll take their starting players on and put them on the bench. They won't have them play at all. They just kind of rest them up for the playoffs." Joe DiMaggio said this. He said, "I play the way I'm playing because there might be somebody out there who's never seen me play." He said, "I want them to see that I give my all in the game." Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's someone in heaven who's watching the way that we run this race. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to be looking unto Jesus. We're to look to Him as the finisher of our faith. We're to look to Him as the one who endured the cross. And when we get weary and battle-scarred, we need to look to the cross and remember what Jesus Christ endured for us. In fact, notice what it says in verse 3. It says, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Boy, in the race, when you feel like someone's trying to push you off the course, consider the one who endured so much contradiction of sinners. They said of Jesus in Luke 7:34, "The Son of Man is come eating and drinking," and they say, "Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." Can you imagine that being said about Jesus Christ? They said, "He's a wine bibber." I want to just say that in your life, when someone says something harsh towards you or about you, or somebody says you're just a hypocrite, or somebody says, "Why are you Christians this or that?" I want you to just remember something. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ in that moment. And remember that He endured the contradiction of sinners. And keep your focus on Christ, not on those who would distract you. And if you'll keep your focus on Christ, then, my friend, you will finish your course with joy. Boy, if you're in your lane and you're looking this way and you're looking that way, pretty soon you're going to trip up.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chappell's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.